Amen. Have you had a good week? Boy, I was going to try to get out of this not being political, but there it is. So this week has been a great week. I believe the Lord has answered some prayers this on some praying people. There's been more prayer this week. I believe this. I've seen more people praying, more churches praying this week than they have in the last 6 years about stuff, at least last four. And so I was at a prayer conference last week, and they had a passage of scripture, a couple of them, that I just couldn't get away from, you know. And so as I began to study out, it was just kind of a themed scripture, you know. They didn't go a lot of deep detail, but a themed scripture at a prayer conference. And so I just couldn't get away from it. I kept digging on it and digging around on it and doing a little research on it, and just kept, I read several passages of scripture before, or chapters before and after this. And I think it's so fitting for today. I think what I'm going to preach to you today is so fitting. So we're all excited, or at least half the country is excited, 80-something million anyway. Not because a man's in there, but because what the policies bring, because the man's in there. But I'm going to pose some questions to you today. You are not off the hook. You prayed and God answered, I believe, prayers, but you didn't know you had a crazy pastor. Amen. Your work is just starting. So you prayed for what? You prayed that a certain man or policies would be in the White House. Amen. That best lined up with your what? Biblical values. Let's try it again so we all know. So you voted for a man and policy that would best line up with your, what you believe about the Bible. So we're going to see what you believe over the next 4 years about the Bible. We're going to see if your prayers were superficial to just get a man or something. Are you going to help back up what these policies stand for? Come on now. If you're going to pray for it, then you got to help support it. Ooh. Did you notice on my notes that I put NLT version on? Okay, so do we have the NLT version? Hey, glory to God. Y'all are so good. See, I don't know what version we have. They know. So, but I'm going to read the title passage, the key text. I'll read it in New King James, which really doesn't matter a whole lot. I'm going to take up today's message from Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Some of y'all didn't even know that Hosea was in the Bible. I can tell. They're like, is that in the Bible? You know, you can pull some tricks on somebody. You can just pull out names and some people. One time I was in this church and I put Hezekiah. Yeah, I read that book last week. You don't want to embarrass anybody, so you just move on. But Hosea is one of our minor prophets in the Bible. had a lot to say. And I want to start, I just want to hang out in chapter 10. We're going to hang out in the whole chapter today. But the key text is this, Hosea chapter 10. And I would title today's message, Breaking Fallow Ground. Breaking Fallow Ground. I'll explain in a minute. Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. So a little backdrop of Hosea chapter 10. The children of Israel have wandered from God like many times before. This is why you cannot separate Old and New Testament. Okay, the only thing that's eliminated basically from the Old Testament is the Levitical law. Everything else must be laid upon top of Old Testament. So if you read the Old Testament, you see time and time and time again where the children of Israel, they'd get close to God and then they'd go from God. They'd get close to God and they'd go from God. They'd get close to God and they'd go from God. Now, lay that, take that as a foundation, and now look at your life. Look at the church. Look at America. We get close to God, we go away from God. We get close to God, we... You tracking with me? We don't like this. I don't like it. But that's what happens. And we're seeing right here in Hosea chapter 10 that this is one of those times where the children of Israel, they're away from God. Matter of fact, they put up idols and they're doing all kind of crazy stuff in Israel, in Judah right now. And so that's kind of the background. They're in a state of being separated from God in a wicked way, much like today. I won't go there, but if you go home, your homework could be Judges chapter 19. Read the whole chapter. That's where the Ephraimite, he had a concubine. And just looking to see how many little ears we got in here. Sometimes I say stuff I ain't supposed to say, and glory to God, it's truth. But he had a concubine, and the men, where he was going back to Israel, the men called him and his concubine, and they done crazy things to her and killed her because of those acts. Come on, have you ever read that? Oh, Judges 19, go home and read it. He was so enraged that he went home, he took her home and cut her in pieces and sent her back to him, and he took revenge. He was going to take revenge. And so I'm saying this to say this. It was as wicked back then as it is now. So don't think we're more wicked. So what? What is fallow? You prayed for something, you got what you want, you got religious liberty. What are you going to do with religious liberty? What are you going to do for 4 years with religious liberty? What are you going to do? I'd like for you to do something with it for the next week. But we're going to shoot for 4 years. What are you going to do with this newfound peace of, I can say what I want to religiously, I can speak God's word anytime I want to. What are you going to do? Because you probably got a man in there or a policy group of policy that'll allow you to do it. What are you going to do? That's good, but what are we going to do with this freedom to speak our religious preference of Christianity? Will you sit silent as we have for years? Because that's why we have been where we've been. What are we going to do, church? You prayed for it. You got it. Now, what are you going to do? The children of Israel more than once prayed to God. He did something for them, and they left him. They'd pray for something, they'd go astray. They'd pray God would have mercy on them. They'd go astray time and time again, and that's where we are right here. What are we going to do as a church across America? What are we going to do as LVA church? Now that we have what we think is the best for us, that best lines up with biblical values, what are we going to do with them? Just going to sit and watch them? Get mad when they don't go our way, but we hadn't done anything. So what is fallow? Fallow is this. It tells us in verse 12, break up your fallow ground. Fallow is an intentional non-use of something. Ground that grows weeds. Ground that is unproductive. When I started farming years ago with my dad, they had programs in farming, and it was fallow ground. Bobby, where are you at? You're about the oldest fella in here on farming that I know of. And I mean that in a good way. Remember those where you had fallow ground? You would certify fallow ground, the ground that we called layout ground. You didn't do anything with it. It was unproductive. It was an intentional use to do nothing. It was an intentional use that you were going to do nothing. It wasn't going to produce. I think you actually had to disc it a couple of times to keep the weeds from coming up. It's kind of part of the program. Nobody checked that. So the Bible tells us to break up some fallow ground. We've been in some fallow ground as a church. That's why we're in the mess we're in. What are we going to do the next 4 years that plows or breaks up fallow ground? You know, that thing that was, it's intentionally we're not doing anything. Do you know when you don't witness, it's intentional that you don't witness? Jason told me one time, I was waiting on a plumber to come to a house one time, and I said, hey man, that guy's supposed to be here. He said, you know why he ain't here? I said, yeah, because he's busy over here and over here. He said, no, it's because he don't want to be. Hurt my feelings. Well, I was going to pay him good money. Come on, somebody. Think about this just a minute. I was going to pay him to come, but he didn't want to. You know what? He probably had a better paying job somewhere else. He's getting to me, but just at this moment, he was ready to make that other money. He had intentions, but nothing produced. What are you, as a Christian, are you going to break fallow ground for the next few years, 4 years, or when are we going to start this? At 3.5 years so we can get spiritual again like the children of Israel, get close to God because we want a desired outcome? We're not going to do anything for 3.5 years and then we're going to beg God and plead for his mercy and he is merciful. I'll show that to you in scripture. What are we going to do? As a Christian, as a blood-bought, born again, I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe everybody wants to go, that God wants everybody to go to heaven. And it's my job to witness. What are you going to do? Are you going to break fallow ground? Or will your fallow, or will your ground still be fallow in 4 years? Will your ground be fallow next week? You got what you prayed for. What are you going to do with it? Preacher, this is like too soon. We wanted to gloat a little bit today. Sorry, at some other church. To break means to plow, to turn over, to make a fresh new furrow, to glisten. They would take a plow in this fallow ground, and he said, plow this to turn it over. I know that in the spring of the year, which most of us don't really do much plowing in the spring of the year, but we used to. And when you would turn over that ground from the year before, it would almost, you could look down and almost glisten. It would almost shine and sparkle a little bit the way the sun was hitting the slick clay or soil. It was just like, oh man, that is so beautiful. And that's what he's saying. See, he wants us to plow fallow ground, that hadn't been plowed, and to make a fresh furrow. Some of us need to sharpen the plow in order to make a fresh furrow. What is a furrow? Furrow is what you plan on for things to grow. You see the process here? Let's read it again. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reaping mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Break it up. The first thing that has to happen when you plant, you have to make sure the soil, the bed is prepared. Preparation, breaking the ground. Then you plant seed and you expect a harvest. This verse in verse 12 moves from a metaphorical understanding to a demand for action with a clear definition of action. Let me read it again. This is my definition of this. This verse is saying this. This verse moves from a metaphorical understanding. He's talking about ground and being plowed. That's metaphorical. To a demand for action with a clear definition for the action. Let's read it. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reaping mercy. We're sowing. That's a metaphor of sowing, like a farmer would go sow. That's a metaphor. Sowing righteousness. That's a different message altogether, but we're going to talk. You're going to reap in mercy. You're not going to necessarily go out and cut mercy down. You're going to reap mercy, though. I'll talk about that in a minute. Watch this. You're going to break up fallow ground. You're going to go out and it's still a metaphor. You're going to break up this fallow ground. And here's where it gets defined action. For it is time. Now this, it moved from being a metaphor to what you should do. It is time. It's not a suggestion. It is time to seek the Lord. That's not a metaphor. It is time to seek the Lord. For how long? Till he comes and rains righteousness on you. So how long are we supposed to plow this ground? Till he comes and he rains righteousness on you. When he rains his pure righteousness on you is when he comes back for you. So we have a clear definition in Hosea chapter 12 that we are to seek the Lord. How you doing so far? The lesson was Tuesday. How many of you really, since Wednesday morning and you woke up, like me, I didn't stay up and watch it. My wife said, "You're not going to stay up and watch it?" Absolutely not. I like sleep, number one. I don't get a lot of it. When I go, I like to get it all. I went to bed about 10, 10:30. She said, "How can you go to bed?" I said, "I'm just going to walk in here and I'm going to crawl up in the bed and I'm going to go to bed." I said, "Honey, I have done everything I can do to get who I want in office. I have prayed, I have voted, I have told everybody that I might have influence on how to vote, except tell them how to vote. Nothing else I can do. I'm going to wake up in the morning, this is what I'm talking about. I'm going to wake up in the morning, and I'm going to rejoice because my man or woman got in, or I'm going to pray because he didn't get in. Come on. Nothing I can do about it. I've done my part. Except what come down the road. But regardless, now we have been faced with a brand new challenge, not with what we're going to do because we got someone else that we don't believe in up there, but now we got a brand new face of challenge. Challenges. What are you going to do that you do have the man in there? Why did you put him in office? Why did you put the policies in office so you could sit back and do nothing on our blessed assurance? Is that why? So you can skate another 4 years and say, "Whoo, I would close with it. Yay, God." What are we going to do? He's given us this. Seek the Lord. When you seek the Lord, you find action. He shows you what he wants you to do. So let's look at Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. I'm going to read some. I'll just stop and explain some things. But I want to show you where they were. Much like you could almost overlay United States today right on Hosea chapter 10. You could just almost, And I'm reading from the New Living Translation because the New King James and the King James, you got to fill in a lot of blanks, and this really does it for you, and it's going to be a lot more understandable. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1 says, "How prosperous Israel is, a luxuriant vine loaded with fruit. But the richer the people get, the more pagan altars they build." Sound like America? Come on, you're going to see. You're going to see it right here as I begin to read this. You're going to see where you can just overlay it. Verse 2. I ain't finished verse 1. "The more bountiful their harvest, the more beautiful their sacred pillars." In other words, they're putting more energies, effort, time into those things that are not. It says sacred, but it doesn't mean sacred to God. It's sacred to them. It's their idols. It's the thing that they want to do. Verse 2, "The hearts of the people are fickle. They are guilty and must be punished. The Lord will break down their altars and smash their sacred pillars." We have a bunch of fickle Christians. That means brittle. That means wah, wah, wah. You hurt my feelings. I ain't coming back. Somebody over there, they don't like, they were talking about me, preacher, when I came in. How do you know? I just know. No, you don't. You're fickle. The church is fickle. Pulpits are fickle. They have a movement called the National, it was just in this election, the National Evangelicals for Sin. It was for Harris. I'm just going to say it. The election's over. for abortion, the national evangelicals, you can say it this way, the national evangelicals for abortion, the national evangelicals for transgenderism, the national evangelicals for queers. That's what that is. They're evangel. What is an evangelical? That's what being you are as Christians. There's a book, I hadn't read it, I'm gonna get this book. It's called Shepherds for Sale. Where shepherds have been bought. Do you know it was a strategy? I've done a little research, just a little research. Do you know it was a strategy by the Democratic Party to win influential people in the national evangelical movement so that they could kind of swing them and people would say, well, they're part of us. Let's get that vote. No, I got to move on. That's another message. Verse 3. Then they will say, we have no king because we didn't fear the Lord. But even if we had a king, what could he do for us? Boy, that sounds like where we're at. Because you didn't do anything. You didn't vote last time. Because you sat on your hands last time. Because, okay, so why do you want that person? If you ain't going to do anything, why? Why do you care who's in there? Come on, if the Christians care who's in there, what are we going to do, church? I can assure you, with almost 100% of surety, there ain't no other preacher preaching this morning in their pulpit. Not because I'm something special, I'm just telling you, they're okay with, we won, hey, man, let's keep, oh, now we're back to normal. Well, normal stinks. Normal isn't good enough. People are going to hell because you're trying to be normal, because the church is trying to be normal. People are going to hell. They're still in bondage and struggles because you want to be normal. It's time to quit being normal. It's trying to turn over some old stale ground. You know, really what he's saying is the church is stale ground. For the most part, the church is just some stale ground. Preacher, you just don't know what I'm doing. Well, how many have you won to the Lord this week? How many have you talked to the Lord? I'm not talking about inviting somebody to church. That is not witnessing. Yep. I can invite you to a restaurant and then not show up. I'm still hungry. You can invite somebody to church, but that doesn't change their eternal position. Lord, I'm going to have to hurry. Watch this. They spout empty words and make covenants they don't intend to keep. I gotta stop. Ever talked to somebody and they told you they was going to do something and you knew they wasn't going to do it? You knew when they opened their mouth, it wasn't going to happen. Wonder what God thinks when you open your mouth and say, I'm going to be the greatest warrior for you ever, Lord. Send me where you want to send me, Lord. I'll go overseas. And he's whispering, see, you don't really mean it. I can't even get you to talk to your neighbor in America. No need for me to send you overseas. Let me move on. I ain't beating you up. I'm just telling you where the church is today. I'm telling you I'm trying to drive home. What are you going to do now that you got who you wanted in the White House? What you going to do? It shouldn't be business as normal. We have plenty of empty seats for those who don't know Jesus. We got a balcony almost empty. Granted, it is deer season. There ain't nothing wrong with going deer hunting, as long as you don't do it 12 months out of the year. It kind of gets illegal after a little while. They spout empty words and make covenants they don't intend to keep, so injustice springs up among them like poisonous weeds in a farmer's field. Are you seeing how the metaphor is here? That's this fallow ground, these poisonous things. That's why homosexuals can be ordained as pastors. That's why they're having, go watch it. They're having drag queens teach Sunday schools. What is wrong with America? It's poisonous weeds have come up in fallow ground, that ground that's doing nothing. The church was doing nothing but being seeker friendly. Oh, we want you just how you are, and you don't even have to change. We want you the way we are. We want the homosexual, the drug addict, the prostitute. We want the unsaved. But by all means, you must change to be a child of God. Verse 5, the people of Samaria trembled in fear for what might happen to their calf idol at Bethaven. That was a place where it was a place of sacred worship. And they feared that something was going to happen to this place, their idols. We're much like that. We're afraid that something will happen to our own personal idols. Lord, I'll do this, but I don't want anything to happen to my idol. I'll do this, Lord, but I got this idol of time, and I don't want to do anything with that. Lord, I got my idol of money, and I love you, but I don't want to give you my money. I'll do that, but Lord, I don't want to serve now. I'm just in this thing for your blessings. Come on, somebody. I ain't sweeping the floor when we eat on Wednesday night for nothing, Lord. I'm above that. The Bible says you want to be first, you need to be last. If you want to be above, you first start at the bottom. Amen. That's another. I'm getting off right there. I was going. The people mourn and the priests wail because its glory will be stopped, will be stripped away. In other words, we can't worship what we want to. We can't be seeker friendly. If we're seeking God, we got to give our will over to His will. We got to go with Him and not what we want to do. And so we got to offend the drag queen. We got to tell them they can't teach anymore. We got to tell the homosexual, bisexual pastor, you can't preach in our pulpit anymore. You're not qualified, according to 1 Timothy 3. You can't do it. I'm talking about not for the Assemblies of God or LV. I'm talking about that's what God set up in His Word. This is who you should put in your pastoral positions. But they're afraid that we'll get that stripped away and nobody's going to like us in the community. They don't like you anyway. Verse 6, this idol will be carted away to Assyria, a gift to the great king there. Ephraim will be ridiculed and Israel will be shamed because its people have trusted this idol. I think there's going to be a lot of shamed people when they stand before the Lord. And they said, but I thought that was right. Our preacher said that was right. Just because he said it don't mean it's right. Just because I say something don't mean it's right. Please don't check your brains at the door. You have a Bible just like I have. Go home and read it. Go home and study it. We may not agree. We probably won't agree on everything theologically. But we must agree on one thing, that Jesus is Lord and He is Savior of all. And He wants the people to be saved. And you must come through the blood of Jesus Christ in order to get to heaven. Verse 7, Samaria and its kings will be cut off. They will float away like driftwood on an ocean wave. And the pagan shrines of Avon, the place of Israel's sin, will crumble. Thorns and thistles will grow up around their altars. And they will beg the mountains, bury us, and plead with the hills, fall on us. This is what's going on right now. People are so involved in their sin, that one day it's going to be revealed to them. If they don't come to know Christ before the rapture of the church, before His return, or before the great white throne judgment, they are going to be ashamed that they followed those idols. I'm preaching better. You're amen in me. Verse 9, the Lord says, O Israel, ever since Gibeah, there has been only sin and more sin. You have made no progress whatsoever. Was it not right that the wicked men of Gibeah were attacked? He said, you didn't make any progress in this thing. These times that when you were supposed to be so close, you made no progress. Now you're here and you're definitely not making progress. Which brings us to our point. What are we doing with the ground God has put before us today? I told you could overlay this on Hosea 10, where we're at today. What are we doing today? We've cultivated sin in our society. Watch it. We've cultivated sin in our homes. We've cultivated sin in the church. And we've cultivated sin in our own lives. Why? Because it feels good. This is not hard. Sin feels good for a minute. Sin is exciting. Sin is intriguing. Sin gives you that element of, ooh, I hope I don't get caught. And if we think we're going to get caught, we run under the water fountain of mercy. Thank God we have it. But God sees every time you do that, and he takes note. Read the Old Testament. You see it over and over. God takes note every time they've come and they've left. They've come and they left. And he takes note of every time we do that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 9, I'll start there again. And the Lord says, Israel, ever since Gibeah, there has been only sin and more sin, and you have made no progress whatsoever. Was it not right for the wicked men of Gibeah were attacked? Verse 10, now whenever it fits my plan, I will attack you too. He said, when I get ready, I'm coming. I'm coming. You have now, right now, to prepare for his coming. Because when he gets ready, no amount of prayers, you're not going to pray him from coming. You're not going to pray him into the White House or pray another one out of the White House. When he gets ready, his plan is going to come to fruition. Amen. And it is our job, while we know we have a reprieve right now because he's still here, we don't know when he's coming. But it is our job to break fallow ground now, right now. Don't wait till next week and next month, now. There's somebody in this room, let me put it this way. Everybody in this room has somebody you have influence over and could lead to the Lord. I have no question about it. There's everybody in this room has somebody that you have influence over you could lead to the Lord. The question is really this. If they're looking at your life and you're telling them you need to know Jesus, will they believe it? Are you telling them that from a position of fallow ground? Or can they see that there is some movement forward? Amen. You know, your job really on earth is not to make money, right? You understand that, right? That's right. Your job on earth is not to make sure that your kids or grandkids are involved in every sport. You understand that, right? Nothing wrong with either of these. I do both of these. Thank you very much. We'll continue. Unless it becomes an idol, and I'll stop. Your job is not to be the most liked person in the community, however that helps. Your job is to plow fallow ground, your fallow ground, where you have become stagnant, where you have let weeds and poisonous weeds come up, where you have been stagnated, where you do not have fresh furrows. That's your job. Because if you can get that, you don't have to worry about the other. You don't have to worry about you witnessing and talking to people about the Lord when you get that part down. Amen? Come on, this is good stuff. I know you're loving it. You're just glad that we're not having a major election for four more years, aren't you? Verse 11. Verse 10, let me finish. This is, now whenever it fits my plan, I will attack you too. I will call out the armies of the nations to punish you for your multiple sins. Israel is like a trained heifer. When you read heifer in the Bible, what does that do to you? My daddy's cuss word was heifer. I didn't hear my dad cuss. He just didn't cuss. He'd get mad and he said, dirty heifer. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Boy, Dad's on the wild side, baby. Dirty heifer. Y'all, you got to read the Bible different, I'm telling you. But when I read a heifer in the Bible, I think, Dad had to be talking to God when he wrote this. He says, it was like a trained heifer treading out the grain. An easy job she loves. Watch, this is going to get, this is the verse 11 before we get to verse 12. It's a metaphor right here, still metaphorically. But I will put a heavy yoke on her tender neck, and I will force Judah to pull the plow and Israel to break up the hard ground. This is the time where you can tell Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, so to speak. But he's talking about the church, Israel. Metaphorically, he's talking about the church right here. You've been so trained to come in and do the easy thing. Let's just stress out some grain. Just easy. All you got to do is go round and round and round. They had threshing floors. They were circular. They had grates in the bottom, a couple inch wide. And they would walk these horses, mules, bulls, heifers, whatever, around. And they would stomp on the grain. And the grain would fall through the cracks to a pit underneath. And they would go and gather the good grain. It was like a combine today. We have modern day combines. That's a combine, okay? And so that's what they do. It was an easy job. You just walked around. No effort. Pretty boring, I guess, but it was easy. That's what he's saying. Israel's like a trained heifer treading out the grain, an easy job she loves, but I will put a heavy yoke on her tender neck. And I will force Judah to pull the plow and Israel to break up fallow ground. I believe because we have a man and policies in place coming in January that we're going to have to take up a different yoke on some tender necks. That we're going to have to say, what we've been doing is not what needs to be done. We've got to start pulling the plow to break up some fallow ground, to break up some hard ground, to swallow some of your pride, to get rid of some of the unforgiveness in your heart. That's what we're up against, church. This is what God's saying he's going to do to Israel. If he'll do it to Israel, he'll do it to America. If he'll do it to America, we are Americans, he'll do it to you individually. Are you seeing the overlay? See, God's word is relevant no matter where you read it from, if you'll apply it to your lives. And then we go to verse 12. And I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up hard ground of your hearts. See how the metaphor changes? It's not now just necessary to ground. Plow up the hard ground of your heart. What is in your heart? What is hardening your heart to fall in love with God? What is hardening your heart to fall in love with your neighbor? Because, you know, everything hinges on those two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. That's the first and greatest commandment. The second is like this, love your neighbors yourself. You don't have to get all 10. You get the first two, you probably got the last 8. Come on, church. I hope you're picking up what I'm trying to put down this morning. It's time that the church, it's time that not the building, the people of the church, you, me, all of us, start plowing some hardened ground in our hearts. I'm telling you, if we get it here first, then around us will begin to be plowed in righteousness. We'll sow in righteousness. Watch this. For now is the time to seek the Lord. that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. So when you start plowing this fallow ground and it turns over and there's some seeds start coming up, you'll begin to reap. You'll begin to reap some righteousness that you've sown. The reason some of you don't have any fruit because you're not sowing anything. Uh-oh. Little Mike, you planted some soybeans this year, didn't you? So if you went out to your fields and let's just say end of August, first September, and you looked around, you said, I don't have any soybeans. First question somebody's going to ask, did you plant them? Obvious, right? Obvious question, right? Legit question, did you plant them? No. Just trusted the Lord. Well, you're an idiot. Come on. Think about that. That's the dumb of the dumbest. You're not going to reap a harvest unless you sow. Galatians 6, 7, 6, 9 says, God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. Whatsoever man sows, so shall you reap. If you're not sowing something, you're not going to reap it. If you're not trying to sow righteousness into people, I'm telling you, the harvest will not come. It's impossible for it to come unless you sow. Hallelujah. Now, that's another message. Verse 13. If I could have somebody come to the piano. I know it freaks you out. It's 15 minutes till 12, but it's okay. That's the most excited some of you got right there. I said it's 15 minutes to 12, and you think I'm bidding the clothes. You go, oh, glory, I feel the Holy Ghost. That ain't the Holy Ghost. That's your flesh rising up, and you think it's the Holy Ghost. It's my idols rising up, glory. It's that gluttonous spirit. But you have cultivated, watch this, you have cultivated wickedness and harvested a thriving crop of sins. That's what America has done. We have cultivated a culture of don't judge me. You can be who you want to be. Nobody tells you, come out of the closet if you want to. I say put them back in the closet. In your prayer closet and get in there with them and pray them through. Come on, somebody. Pray them through till the Holy Ghost falls. They get delivered of that stuff. That's where they need to be, in the closet with you. Woo! So we've cultivated this atmosphere of sin, of wickedness, and we've harvested thriving, listen, thriving crops. That's abundance. That's why they're in pulpits. That's why there's a very small percentage of people that are in the LGBTQ plus whatever the other, all the other alphabet stuff is. But they're pushing it down your throat. That is a thriving harvest. Why? 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 Answer the question, why? Because Christians aren't plowing fallow ground. We're setting back saying, well, it ought to be the preacher's job. You know, we pay him way too much anyway. He preaches a message we don't like. I don't want to do anything. I've got a job. You know, I give my $15 a week. I mean, glory to God. I mean, what else they want? Hey, I'm not messing with you if that's all you can give. I'm not saying that. What do they want me to do? Oh, I'm not doing anything else now. I've got my set of friends, and they really like me. And we like to get drunk on the weekends. Come on, somebody. We like to do a little dope. We like to whore around a little bit. I ain't going to mess with that now. If that means me moving from all that lifestyle to be with God, I'm just going for the mercy. I just want to be saved. Check yourself. Check yourself. Check yourself. You might not be as saved as you think you are. Check yourself. Something comes to mind. What was it Lexi asked the other day? Was that you or her mother? What was the question? Something about, you remember? We're talking about salvation, and she asked, if you get saved, but you continue to turn away from God, are you? So here's the question. Blew me away. I get blown away. I'm pretty simple-minded. 7-year-old asked the question. She was asking about salvation. She asked these questions. Because her mom and daddy cultivate ground. Come on. She asked the question, if you get saved and you continue to do sinful things, are you saved? Let that just sink in a little bit. We got so much theological opinion going on right now. I just see it. If I could see it in the spirit, it's just coming up off some of you like billowing smoke. I didn't say, look, the question wasn't if you're struggling with a few things, but you're striving to go forward. I'm saying if you continue in sin, I'm here to tell you the Bible is plain. If you continue in sin, you are not saved. You never really got blood bought born again. If you continue in sin, a lifestyle of sin, over and over and over, and there's no repentance, you did not get saved. It's truth. It's from the Word of God. We can have theological debates about it, but not right now. It's the truth. God desires us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And those who come to Him and give their heart to Him, they're going to have a desire to follow Him and not follow after the lust of the world, the lust of sin, those things that bring us down, those poisonous weeds. They will not want to follow those things. Hallelujah. You have eaten the fruit of lies. This is verse 13. Let me start over. But you have cultivated wickedness and harvested thriving crops. You have eaten the fruit of lies, trusting in your military might, believing that the great armies could make your nation safe. I pray to God that none of you were led astray by this pastor in this past election, thinking that one man or one group of policies could save you from devastation, because that is wrong. The policies we voted will not save this country, will not stop sin. The man will not stop sin. Sin has been here, it's going to continue here, but what slows the decay of sin is blood-bought, born-again, on-fire Christians that say, I'll break up the ground where I'm planted. That's what's going to change our community. Verse 14, now the terrors of war will rise among your people, and all your fortifications will fail, just as when Shalom destroyed Beth Arbel. Even mothers and children were dashed to death there. Verse 15, you will share that fate, Bethel, because your great wickedness, when the day of judgment comes down, the king of Israel will be completely destroyed. It's king with a small K, not talking about Jesus. So I got a question. I'm going to end of the day. We're closing. Hallelujah. We're closing. Are you going to break ground? Or are you going to break and run? What you going to do? I'm a planner. I've got on my iPad, on my phone, I got things to do. I got a little thing. It says things to do. Pretty simple. Things to do. You know why they're there? Because they're things to do. I got things to do at the house. I got things to do on the farm. I got things to do at the church. I got things to do in my businesses. I got things. I got a list. Why? Because I don't want to get off track and I need to accomplish certain things. I want to encourage you to make you a list of things to do on breaking your ground. What's the first thing you need to do? Break out your plow. Break out your plow and begin to plow your heart. What the Bible says, your hard heart. Who is it you need to get forgiveness from? Who is it you need to forgive? Who is it? Who is it that has hurt you? Who is it that you have? Is this envy in your heart? Is there jealousy in your heart? Do you have idols in your heart? What's your desire to God? Make you a things to do. These are things to do for me. I got to get this person. Oh, God, I don't want to call them. We're going to put them on the bottom of the list. Oh, I don't want to. What? I can't do that? It's not about what you can't do. I used to tell when I was a youth pastor, I told my young people this when they get saved, but pastor, it's a bunch of I don't get to's. I said, no, it's never that. Never look at following Christ as the things I don't get to do. Look at it, it's those things that when you get blood bought, born again, you're on fire for God, you don't want to do those things. That's where it's at. We got to change the thoughts. Let's break some fallow ground. The remaining of this year and the next year and the next year and the fourth year, watch this, come on somebody, and the fifth year and the sixth year, if the Lord doesn't return, and the seventh year, when? Until he comes back is what the Bible says. Where did we stop? Will you stand with me across this building? Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Number one, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you really don't know that you know Jesus. Now'd be a great time. Now's a great time. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you are, listen to me, I love you. If you don't know Jesus, if you die or he returns, you will go to hell. A literal hell. You're going to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. I've never been there. I've only read about it. You don't want to go because it's a separation from God for sure. We know that much. You don't want to go. If you don't know him, if you were to take your last breath today, this is not scare tactics, this is reality. Yep. 3 weeks ago, I had a friend of mine, went to a parts store in Indianola, Mississippi, sat down like he always does. He's retired, he's 79 years old, great health, getting around really good, sat on a bench talking to his friends, something happened, he passed out, hit his head, he's dead today. They buried him Friday. Great health. You don't know. From the time it took him to fall, he was a Christian man, by the way. Amen. But from the time it took him to fall here, to hit his head on the concrete, off of a stool, he never came to again. Do you know where you're going to go? If you don't know, I could probably fill in the blank for you. If you want to know Jesus, I want you to make your way this way. And when you make your way, I promise you, there's no judgmental eyes on you. No one's looking at you weird or crazy. There's going to be some men or women, which if you are male or female, and going to come right along beside you and going to love on you and going to pray with you and lead you in the sinner's prayer. If that's you anywhere in this building, Pastor, aren't we supposed to close our eyes? You can close them if you want to. It doesn't matter. If you're going to make a public profession of faith, let's make it. Come on, if we're going to plow some ground, people are going to see that, so they need to see you do this. So if you want to know Jesus, I want you to come. I want you to come right now. Come on, church, be praying. If you're the one trying to break some ground, hey, let's pray. This would be a good start. Pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know that your Holy Spirit has to draw people to get saved. We know that. And if there's unsure people in this room today that do not know you as their Savior, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would so quicken and grip their hearts. Lord, take that old hard heart of stone and make it a pliable heart of flesh. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord everybody in this room is saved on the way to heaven by your profession in Jesus' name. I'm not responsible. Glory to God. Pastor, I need help in the second area, that thing you've been preaching on all morning. I need some help there. I got a lot of ground that's went fallow around me. As a matter of fact, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. I look around and I see some pretty big poisonous weeds that I've allowed to come into my life or through my television or my internet or my language or whatever. And then I see some little poisonous weeds, Lord, and I need to plow some stuff. I need to turn some stuff under. I need to put some cold, hard steel to some more poisonous weeds. Pastor, that's me. I want you to pray with me. Oh, this fits and get good. You're going to plow in public, aren't you? I'm going to be the first. Let me get right up here so you can see me, because I want everybody to see me. Pastor, I got some things and some poisonous weeds trying to come up around me. signifying sticking up your hand. You need to plow some stuff around you personally. I got mine up, not just because I'm raising my hand, because they need to be up. There's some things around in my life that I need to plow under. I need to put the plow. I need to take the root. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see the hands all across this building. Lord, anything from poisonous weeds of sexual sins all the way to those things that we don't really know about, covetousness and envy, Lord, anger and pain and hurt. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'd move in this place today. Lord, that you'd move on the hearts of your people, Lord, that we may be plowers of fallow ground, Lord, starting in our hearts, Lord, starting in our backyard, if you will, Lord, plowing up those things that are not pleasing to you. And Lord, when we get those plowed up, Lord, let us just plow into our neighbor's yard. And Lord, let us plow into the next neighbor's yard. Let us plow at the workplace, Lord. Let us plow, Lord, at the family dinner table, Lord. Come Christmas and come Thanksgiving, Lord. Even though it's against popular opinion that you're not supposed to talk about religion. Oh, God, we're together. Why not talk about the very thing that can save us? Father, we need you today. God, every hand that's been raised in this place, Lord, you see it from their honesty. Lord, they're not ashamed. They have their hands up high, Lord, in public profession, Lord. Lord, there's some things in our lives that need to be plowed under. Lord, let us plow under those things today. Lord, let us be the church you called us to be, God. Lord, let us be an on fire, full of the Holy Ghost kind of church, Lord. Lord, that wins souls, Lord, that disciples people. Lord, that helps people in prison, Lord, that helps people in Africa with food, God. Lord, let us be a people that love people. Father, we love you and we thank you for what you're doing. I just know God's doing a work in your heart right now. I believe that. I believe it. Lord, I believe that you're doing a work right now. Lord, do a work in me that I may lead your people the way we need to be led as I follow you, Lord. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in every heart, in every life right here today, God. Lord, you are worthy. We trust you, God. We trusted you. We prayed to you. You answered, and now we trust you, God. We trust you, Lord, with our hearts. We trust you, Lord, with our heart. We trust you, Lord, with our heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. Come on, can somebody just give a hand clap, Lord, bless his name before we're dismissed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me bless you before we go. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man, that job promotions, prosperity, raises, increases would come our way. Lord, that peace would rest over every rooftop. When we lay down this afternoon or tonight, that peace and sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says amen and amen. Love you. See you on Wednesday night. Bring a casserole, a dessert. Get with Marcia or Elizabeth for that. Thank you.